Book of Romans, our third message from this book, beginning in verse number 8, chapter 1. If you will, listen, follow in the scripture, Romans chapter 1, verse 8 down to verse 13. The Word of God says, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. For God is my witness." This is the Apostle Paul who is writing to the book to the church at Rome. "God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit and the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I mention you always in my prayers, asking that somehow by God's will I may now at last succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. That is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. I want you to know, brothers, that I have often intended to come to you, but thus far have been prevented, in order that I may reap some harvest among you, as well as among the rest of the Gentiles." And then we'll stop there with verse number 13. This is what is known as the bridge. He first, in the first seven verses, gives his credentials and introductions. But beginning in verse number 8, he is speaking some personal things that's bridging to what the main thing of the book of Romans is, and that's the gospel. The gospel of God. It's mentioned three times there in the, it's mentioned one, two, three, four times in the first 16 verses of the first chapter, but we're going to see the gospel all throughout the book of Romans. But these bridge verses, 8 down to verse 13, I simply want to entitle this message this morning, Paul's Personal Remarks. We'll be very brief this morning looking at these personal remarks that he makes. Each one of these personal remarks that he speaks to the people there at Rome has something particular about it that I want to point out to you. It's a special word. It's a little word, only two letters. But this word is a special word. It is a privileged word. Makes all the difference in the world, this little word. And the word that I'm speaking of is the word "my." My. It's a special word. Remember that guys, that girl that you had your eye upon? She's a girl. You want to make her my girlfriend, and she became your girlfriend. But you wanted to go a step further, didn't you? You wanted her to be my wife, and vice versa for you ladies. My boyfriend, my husband. And children, they can steal your heart, can't they? Little precious little boys and girls, but one day, if God has blessed you with having a child, that's my baby. That's my son. That's my daughter. You see, that's a special word. It's a privileged word. And Paul, in these verses, uses it a lot. Did you see that? Verse number 8, my God. Verse number 9, my witness. Verse number 9, my spirit. Verse number 10, my prayers. Verse number 11, he speaks of my desire. I long to see you. And he infers in these other two verses several things about that word my. That word my, how do you define the word my? It is what is called a possessive determiner. There's several things, but a possessive determiner says that right there, that's mine. The things that Paul said that he possessed and he is in possession of, these things are not to be compared with the beauties of this world, or the riches of this world, or the possessions of this world. Let me point out to you these privileged things that Paul speaks of here. He says in verse number 8, my God. That's the first thing I want you to see. That Paul could say, first I thank my God. His personal possession. Not that we think of God as a possession, but in the language, it is a possession or a possessive determiner that he says this is not just the God. This is just not our God, but this is my God. I thank my God. I have a personal relationship with him. I know him. He knows me. He has apprehended me, as he says in Philippians. I have been after righteousness through the law and righteousness through the Jewish religion. And I was going in the opposite direction, but he apprehended me, took possession of me. I am his servant, but he is my God. He said, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, speaking about the Romans, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. Here he loves the Roman church, though he's never been there. He loves the Roman people. This is the seat of the Roman Empire. But he says, my God, I have a personal God. And it said, I thank him through Jesus Christ, his son, for all of you because of your faith that is proclaimed in all the world. Then in verse number 9, he says, secondly, that God, he's my witness. My witness. In other words, what I am saying here, what I am writing here to the church, I'm not just blabbing. I'm not just being sentimental. I'm not just saying some nice things. I am speaking from my heart. God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his son, that I cease not to pray for you, that without ceasing I mention you. Here he appeals to God as his witness. He does that in several other of his writings. When he says that I speak the truth, God's my witness, I lie not. But here Paul appeals to God, the highest witness. Can you have a more credible witness than this? God is my witness, he is saying. I am speaking the truth to you that I do this. Here's the third, my prayers. My prayers. You're always, verse 10, in my prayers. To be prayed for by the Apostle Paul. the apostle. The one, as we saw last week, the apostle born out of due time. Paul's praying for us. That's what he says. God's my witness that I pray for you. Well, this honest statement that he is making here, that this language, of course, is to lend credibility to what he is saying to the Roman people, that he's praying for us. Why is he praying for them? What's the purpose of praying for them? He mentions in verse number 11, my impartation. I want to impart something to you. I want to give something to you. I want to transfer something to you. I call it my impartation. This is what he's been praying for. Verse number 11, for I long to see you. That speaks of his desire, my desire. I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. Paul said, I want to be able to come to this most important church and be able to impart through my preaching and through my teaching something that is beneficial to you. And of course, part of this is that not just for their benefit, but Paul says, actually, this is for our mutual encouragement. Notice in verse number 12, here's the fifth thing, my encouragement. I want to come to you for my encouragement and for your encouragement, mutual encouragement. You see there in verse number 12, that is that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. These people could say, my faith, my God, my Savior, my Lord, my salvation. And Paul said, yeah, you can say that, I can say that. We're brothers in Christ and we can mutually encourage one another. There have been times when God has been kind to me in certain desperately needy, discouraging, depressing times in my life, that being with some other special person, that God, before it was over in our meeting or our time together, I was encouraged, I was helped, I was built up, and vice versa. We were able to benefit one another. That's part of the reason why Paul said, I want to go to those people. I want to go to the people of Rome, Italy. And then I want you to notice the last thing. He points out my preventions. I've been prevented. You see there in verse number 13 where he says that, I want you to know, brothers. Now he said, I want you to know this, that I have often intended to come to you, but thus far have been prevented. Now, what does he mean by this? What is he speaking of here? Remember, I told you the last two messages that Paul wanted to go to Rome to preach the gospel. He's eager, verse 15 and 16. He says, I'm eager to preach the gospel to you at Rome. So he wanted to go to Rome as a preacher, but God said, no, you're not going to Rome as a preacher, but you're going as a prisoner who is going to preach. And he went to Rome, sent by the government, paid for by the government. His travel expenses were all taken care of. Not the best of accommodations, of course, and a little bit of tightness around his ankles and his arms with those shackles. But he got to go to Rome. but he went as a prisoner. Was able to even preach there in the palace. Witness those Roman soldiers that guarded him. A different shift. I believe it was four times a day, different Roman soldiers guarding this special person. And what do you think he did while he was chained to these Roman soldiers? He led many of them to Christ. Many of them believed. And God used Paul all the way up to the highest seats of the Roman Empire. But why didn't you let me go earlier, Lord? It says here in the ESV, I've been prevented. That simply means that there have been divine providences in my life that God is in control of. God, He says this you can do, this you can't do. Or he says this you can do, and this you're going to get to do, but not right now. It's going to be later. You remember in the book of Acts, Paul wanted desperately to go to Asia Minor. He had determined, I'm going to Asia Minor on this missionary journey. But it says that the Holy Spirit forbade him. The Holy Spirit forbidden him. Do not go to Asia Minor. Instead, the Holy Spirit's going to send him in the opposite direction to the European area. He had a dream, a vision, and in the vision, he saw a man of Macedonia, that's the European area, saying, come over and help us. And Paul said, I determined that that was the Spirit of God leading me, saying, you can't go there, but you can go here. And there was great purpose in that. This is the beginning of Western civilization. This is the beginning of Christianity in the Western civilization. This is the early church, and this is very, very important time. But Paul's preventions. You know, all of us, we better thank God that we've been prevented from doing some things that we wanted to do. I thank God that before I was saved, some things that I wanted to do, some things that I dreamt about doing, some things that I would have given anything to have done and been a part of, I was prevented by the sovereignty of God, by the providence of God. Some of you, you would have liked to have done this, that, or the other that was not good, but God did not allow that in your life, but he allowed other things in your life. Thank God for God's leadership. And as someone wisely said, not only thanking God for his leadership, but also the stops. Thank God for the stops. Thank God for saying, not that way. Maybe you're going to do that later, but not right now. So what must we do in these situations when we desire, we long, verse 11, I long to see you. I've tried to come several times, but I've been prevented. What do we do in those cases? We go with the flow. We roll with the punches. We say, Lord, you're in control. And you have a purpose, you have a plan. I'm just your servant. I can't demand anything as a bond servant. We saw in verse number 1, I'm a servant of Christ. I don't have first rights. So, Lord, whatever. Whatever. I'll just submit myself to you. But as I close with this message this morning, let me ask you this question. Can you put that word my in the same place as Paul put this word my? Can you say with all honesty that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. That the Father is my Father. That the Lord is my shepherd. Or is he just God? Is he just Jesus? Is he just a shepherd without that personal possessiveness, that you cannot use that personal possessive determiner? He is my Lord and my God. My prayer for you today is, if not, to turn to him, believe upon him. The scripture tells us that we are to repent and believe. We're to turn from whatever we're looking at now or holding to now. Turn from that and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Best way you know how. Make an about face and believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, who died upon the cross so that people like you and me can be saved and we can have that personal relationship with him. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would help us all today to glean from the personal experience of Paul. And that, Father, that we too can experience this personal relationship. May that one today that has that conviction in their heart, you're dealing with their heart today, that that's not me. I don't have that personal relationship. I don't know that God is my Lord and my God and my Savior. I don't know that I have eternal life. Oh, today, would you turn to him?